Hi, friends. As Melinda said, my name is Michael, and this is my bride, Melinda. We met and dated in college beginning in 1995, and we were married in 2002. And it is only by God's grace that we humbly sit here before you today, just weeks shy of our 22nd anniversary. As we share with you tonight, we pray that God's steadfast love and faithfulness are on display. And we hope that each of us walk out of here in awe of God's power to rescue, redeem, and restore marriages. So in 2012, events unfolded that would change our family's direction for all eternity. Our daughters were ages 3 and 6. We had just celebrated our 10th anniversary, and to everyone around us, we appeared to have a great marriage. Looks can be deceiving, though. Years of unspoken expectations, frustrations, disappointments, resentment, contempt, hurt, and anger erupted like a volcano, sending us into a long and turbulent storm. At that time, Melinda was completely invested in motherhood, while I was completely invested in being the financial provider for our family. I did not take this role lightly because after hearing my parents argue a lot about finances late in high school, I vowed to myself that I would never that I would make enough money to give my wife all that she could ever want so that we would never argue about money. That said, my focus during our first 10 years of marriage was on getting where I wanted us to be financially. It wasn't about trying to create an intimate connection with Melinda or leading Melinda spiritually or loving her in the selfless ways God wants us to love our spouse. To paraphrase, Matthew 6, 19 through 24 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You cannot serve both God and money. These verses remind me of just how far away from God my heart was prior to 2013. Admittedly, I was serving money, and I wasn't even close to serving God. Though it appeared we were excelling as a team, our marriage lacked relationship because of our silos that we lived in. Rather than sharing our thoughts and needs of our hearts with one another, we talked about superficial things like weather, sports, schedules, friends, and money. Busyness with our kids, pursuing separate hobbies, chasing the dollar, and drinking alcohol masked our needs for connection with each other. I was living life under the impression that we had a great marriage, but I was clueless to the fact that our inability to share struggles with one another was leading us down a dangerous path.
So I felt overwhelmed as a stay-at-home mom with little control over our daughter's behaviors. I had grown up as a perfectionistic, competitive athlete with a track record of success in sports and academics. I thrived off recognition and affirmation from others. In my role at home, I was not affirmed or praised for my long hours or dedication to this demanding job. I was a pro at playing the comparison game in all areas of life, striving to be better than everyone around me so that I could overshadow the insecurities of feeling like I was not enough. As I compared myself to other moms and their kids, I felt inferior, which caused me to withdraw in isolation. My lack of control and perceived shortcomings as a mom made me feel worthless and discouraged. I couldn't bring myself to openly share my struggles with anyone else because my pride believed those were weaknesses, also known as imperfections in my mind, which could not be advertised to others. I wish I'd known about the scriptural perspective of weaknesses. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, the Lord tells Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul responds to this truth by saying, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I could have invited Christ into my struggles, but as I had learned to do early in life, I stuffed my feelings, choosing to numb my unhappiness and dissatisfaction with alcohol and an obsessive pursuit of physical fitness. I falsely believed that I could increase my worth in others' eyes through triathlons, half marathons, and a marathon. in my self-absorbed state with a heart that was growing apathetic in isolation, I began a running partnership with a man at the gym, someone who had intrigued me for some time. Looking back on this decision, I had become infatuated with him from a distance, and by stepping into this training partnership, I was striking a match that would soon burn out of control. I did not have intentions of pursuing him relationally, but before I knew it, our time spent together had ignited my emotions so powerfully that an emotional affair was underway, and I didn't even know it. I reached a point where I saw Michael as an obstacle to my happiness, and over another few months, the emotional affair morphed into a full-blown affair. I contemplated how to inform Michael that I was in love with another man and that I wanted out of our marriage. I felt fulfilled and satisfied, like I had found my soulmate and the intimacy I thought was only possible in movies. I was ready to sacrifice everything that I once cherished just to be with this other person.
In December of 2012, I received an unexpected phone call that informed me of Melinda's infidelity. At that moment, I had no idea what the future held for us, but I vividly remember just a few hours later hugging Melinda, telling her that I was choosing to forgive her, and explaining that I would never leave her, regardless of the choices she had made. Fast forward through 6 grueling months of trying to reconcile our marriage in worldly ways with zero success, to where Melinda pushed to separate in June of 2013. Isolation and not having biblical community or counsel allowed me to believe the lie that there was no hope for our marriage since Melinda was returning to the affair with the separation. My hope had reached an all-time low, so I filed for divorce, thinking that was my only choice. But God. A couple of weeks later, one of my best friends from high school, a Watermark member, reached out to ask me why I missed our 20th high school reunion. I explained our situation to him, and his response was loving and non-judgmental. That night, he entered into my pain with me. He came alongside me and began leading me to God's word and to a personal relationship with Jesus. I will never forget the morning after I shared my story with him, he shared Jeremiah 29:11-13 with me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That scripture gave me a restored hope. Days later, I terminated the divorce proceedings and decided to never stop fighting for my marriage. From that point on, I began seeking God with all of my heart, and I surrendered my life to the Lord. God was changing me from the inside out. He opened my eyes to my own form of infidelity in our marriage through my prioritized focus on money and career instead of building a Christ-centered marriage with Melinda. Recognizing and confessing my own contributions to the downfall of our marriage, I would start each day by asking God to help me forgive Melinda for the choices she was making. This daily practice allowed God to fill me with his strength to endure and his strength to continue loving Melinda during the separation. Desperate to find encouragement through stories of restored marriages, I stumbled across a re-engaged story online. I listened to the story of a marriage that overcame similar issues to what we had been dealing with, and this generated additional hope within me. If God could restore that marriage, why couldn't he restore ours? So in October of 2013, since Melinda was still not ready to divorce but had no interest in coming home, I asked her to attend a weekend seminar to help couples recover from infidelity. Surprisingly, she agreed to attend.
Even though I entered the recovery weekend convinced that nothing could change my mind about the relationship with my affair partner, my eyes were open to a deep brokenness within me that needed healing. The affair wasn't the root of my brokenness. The affair just revealed my brokenness. Much like when we are catching a cold, our sneeze and cough reveal that a virus is invisibly attacking from within. My heart longed to be chosen, accepted, cherished, seen as enough by others' standards. Lying, cheating, drinking, promiscuity, and sexual sin were habits that I'd carried into my marriage from my teen years because I had experienced rejection that made me feel unworthy. That weekend, I learned that my behaviors, seeking others' affection and approval, revealed the insecurities I felt because of the lie I believed that I was not enough. Determined to fix what was broken so I wouldn't repeat my folly in a new relationship, I agreed to join a 17-week course that was comprised of 6 other unfaithful women and a mentor. This group was a safe place to share my struggles without fear of judgment. As a result, I experienced the power of the following statement: shame dies when we tell our secrets in safe places. To my surprise, the course curriculum wasn't a set of tips and tricks for overcoming addictive patterns. Its foundation was that Jesus Christ is sufficient. He validates. He loves unconditionally. True healing was available in and through him. I knew about Jesus because I'd attended Catholic school from 3rd grade through college, but I did not know him personally. I didn't even know that was a thing. So I asked questions and explored God's truth beyond the assignments. I began listening to Watermark's online sermons because of the influence of Michael's friend. We visited Watermark in February 2014 while in town to meet our newborn nephew. Mind you, we were still separated and in the middle of our mess. During that visit, Michael was gripped by a conviction that we needed to move to Texas to be a part of Watermark, but I gently reminded him that was not going to happen given our circumstances. Sensitive to Michael's desire to be involved in the church, I suggested we visit a familiar church in our community. We attended there the following Sunday and returned weekly, even plugging into family-focused community. God's words penetrated my hard heart every week. God's people came alongside us through community, and God's spirit awakened within me through worship and Christian music. I was growing closer to God, but I was still entrenched in the affair.
In April of 2014, I made a public declaration of my faith and trust in Jesus Christ by being baptized. I was a new man with new priorities. I was committed to live my life for God, to abide in him, and therefore to continue loving my wife the way Christ loves his church, even though Melinda was actively involved in the affair. Unfortunately, in August of 2014, 14 months into our separation, our marriage again seemed to have reached an end when Melinda decided to file for divorce. This resulted in us spending the better part of that month going through mediation. I wanted no part of this divorce, but found myself in the process of splitting up assets and putting together holiday schedules to share our kids. Our final mediation session ended on September 4th of 2014, and our divorce was slated to be official before Thanksgiving.
In the latter part of our separation, I occasionally daydreamed about what a God-honoring marriage with Michael might be like, but fear and lies crushed those dreams every time. However, my newfound desire to seek Jesus brought on overwhelming regret for where I found myself with each passing mediation session, and I felt deeply convicted by the Lord following our final session. It's as if he was saying to me, "Is this the purpose for which I created you, Melinda? To abandon your children and your marriage, to seek your selfish fleshly desires? I have greater plans for you." I knew that I no longer wanted to feed my flesh, but I feared my inability to end the affair. In a moment, I decided to trust God for the strength I would need to surrender this fleshly desire once and for all. I held on to the hope in Matthew 19:26. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
When I made it into work the next morning, I had an email waiting from Melinda telling me that she was ready to put an end to all the madness. Some of her exact words from that email were, "I know it will take everything in us with all of God's grace and help, but I want to do it. I want to piece our family back together." And the very next day, after a 15-month separation, Melinda moved home, and the past 10 years have been nothing short of miraculous. All glory goes to God.
Yes. I look back on my transition home and see so clearly that God split the seas so I could walk right through them. Michael's sacrificial and unconditional love for me during our separation was not only a tangible portrait of Jesus' love for me here on earth, but it has also allowed our daughters to witness true forgiveness and reconciliation. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior just 1 month after moving home. All the striving for perfection and acceptance throughout my life had finally been achieved through an act of faith, accepting God's free gift of grace through Christ Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24 states, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." My weaknesses are pride, perfectionism, control, and the desire to be validated by others. I am not good enough, but Jesus is. I can walk in the light without shame or guilt from my past because I've been washed clean by the blood of Christ. My identity is in Jesus. It is in him that I find freedom from my brokenness, and I know that I can cope with anything that comes my way because I have Jesus. Outside of an abiding relationship with Christ, I know I am prone to sin, so I cling to God's word and seek his wisdom every day by living in authentic community. I carefully choose the things I allow to have an influence over me. As Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it."
We remember how alone we felt during our most challenging times. It felt like we were on an island where no one could relate to our struggles, and that magnified our hopelessness. I would have given anything for a place to work through struggles within a safe community, but Reengage was not an available resource in Colorado at that time. God continued to do a mighty work in our hearts and planted within us a passion for helping others who might be afflicted by infidelity in their marriages. 2 Corinthians 1:4 came to life in our story. It says, "He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." Amazingly, less than 1 year later, God called us to help launch Reengage at our church in Denver. Without Reengage, we were set to have an above-average marriage, but going through Reengage helped us establish a biblical foundation for our marriage within the context of community. Our relationships with Christ deepened, and God is now our first and most important priority. Investing in, being intentional, and pursuing oneness within our marriage is the second priority. This looks like praying out loud together, communicating openly so we can share burdens with one another, overlooking minor offenses, and elevating the other's needs above our own. Parenting our two beautiful daughters that God has entrusted to us falls next in line. The Lord has changed our family's eternity through our storm, and we praise him for his redemptive work in our lives.
God allowed us the privilege of serving for 5 years in Colorado, even helping other churches in the area launch Reengage because word had spread in the community about the power of transformation within the ministry. God called us to move here from Colorado in June of 2020. Our hearts were prepared to patiently trust him for this part of the journey, which he seems to reveal to us slowly but surely. We are humbled to be here today serving in this ministry. By his grace, he has surpassed any dream, hope, or expectation that we ever could have had for our marriage and our lives. Isaiah's words from chapter 58, verses 8 and 9 ring true. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts."
The amazing thing is, I am confident that he can do the same thing in your marriage when each of you seek him with your whole heart. It won't happen overnight, but he is faithful. While we have a thriving marriage now, we do not have a perfect marriage. There's no such thing this side of heaven. We've been made new in Christ, and yet we will still encounter difficulties and disappointments in our relationship, as recently as this past weekend. In response, we choose daily to struggle in the right direction with Christ at the center, a concept we've learned through Reengage. We know that how we treat each other and respond to one another glorifies God. Thus, we make it our aim to please him by humbling ourselves to love one another like Christ loves us. We pray that in sharing our story with you tonight, you will be filled with awe and hope because God is bigger than any mess we can make in our marriages. We know the intensity of pain from disappointments in your relationship can feel unbearable. Refuse to buy the lie, though, that you can escape your pain through divorce or other outlets. Investing in and inviting Christ to strengthen or heal, even resurrect, your marriage will take less time and effort than dealing with the lifelong fallout from divorce. Keep coming back Wednesday over Wednesday to be reminded that your marriage is worth fighting for and that you're not alone in the battle. God is with you, he is for you, and he longs for you to choose him and his ways. Rise up and run to him. A thriving marriage is possible when you surrender it all into his mighty hands. Thank you guys for letting us share our story with you tonight.